Mark chapter number 4 will be our text. I'd like to begin reading in verse number 35 and read down through verse number 41, if I may, tonight. Mark chapter 4 and verse number 35. The Bible said, "In the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. There were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. They awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" I want to direct your heart and your attention to verse 37, where the Bible said that the storm and the waves beat into the ship. And the last clause of the verse is what I would like to highlight in your mind and mine tonight. So that it was now full. Let's pray. Father, we sure do need your help. Thank you so much for the good, sweet singing of the songs of heaven that we have heard, that's ministered to our souls and touched our lives. God, I pray the preaching now would do nothing less than that. I pray you would reach down deep in our heart. I pray, Lord, that you would give peace to those that need peace and comfort to those that need comfort. I pray that you would divvy out the reproofs and the rebukes as you see fit. God, touch us now. I need your help. Bless this dear pastor, his family, and this good church, and the visitors that are among us. We appreciate it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Mark chapter number 4, if you study your Bible, you will find this, that this chapter is the first storm that the disciples will go through with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this will not be the last storm they will go through with Jesus. Just a couple of chapters after this text, they find themselves right back in the middle of another storm with the Lord. But this is the first storm. And let me say this to you tonight. Getting in a boat with Jesus don't mean that you won't have storms in your life. Getting in a boat with Jesus and getting Jesus in a boat with you won't mean that there won't be hard times. Doesn't mean that there won't be rough seas. It doesn't mean that the sky won't turn dark and there won't be tough days. What it does mean is having Jesus in the boat means you have somebody with you that can ride out the storm, and anytime he gets ready, he can say, "Peace, be still," to the troubled waters of your heart and the troubled waters of your life tonight. Here in the text, we find they are going through this storm. Getting in a boat with Jesus, you might find this. I know some people think, well, I'll get yoked up with Jesus, I'll get saved, and that means my storms will be over with. Oh no, getting in a boat with Jesus, sometimes it means the storm picks up, not lays down. It means sometimes things get rough, they don't get better, but you got somebody with you. Amen. And here in the story, we find they are going through this immense and this intense storm with Jesus. I wish I could say that there would only be one storm per life, per lifetime. Wouldn't that be awesome if you could say there'd only be one storm in your life per lifetime? But that's just not true. I generally find, somebody said years ago, and it's true, that you're either coming out of a storm, you're in a storm, or you're about to go into a storm. That seems to be the phases of life. There will always be some sort of storm that the child of God has to go through. Look at something interesting about this storm. The Bible said that these waves begin to beat into the ship. This water begins to overflow the sides of the boat. And the Bible said that the boat was now, the ship was now full. Now, I'm not a rocket scientist. I ain't a real smart fella. And I'm not a calculus major or anything like that. I'm not a sailor. I'm not a boatman. But I do know what happens, Brother Johnson, to boats that get full of water. Boats that get full of water do not float. Boats that get full of water begin to sink. Just ask the poor unfortunate victims of the Titanic. They don't float on, they go down when they get full of water. I remember when I was a little boy, Brother Keith, I remember there was a little pond, almost a lake, that was out behind our house, way back into the woods on some forest that we used to play on. Me and my brother, we'd go down there with our friends and we'd play around during the summertime, wintertime, didn't really matter when it was. We had us this little old 10, 12 foot aluminum boat that my papa had given us. It wasn't much to it, but we thought we was captains of the high seas. We'd put that boat out there, 12, 13 year old boys, and paddle around that pond, that lake, and all that, and mess around. I remember one time we went out there and it was cold. We got in that boat and we began to paddle off from the shore. We got about 50, 75 yards from the shore, and about that time I got to feeling water in my shoes. That ain't a good sign when you're in a boat. And I looked down and the water done got past my shoes. It was up to my ankles. I said, "Dear God." I looked at my brother and the boy that was with us. I said, "Who didn't put the plug in the boat? Who forgot to put the plug in?" We made an about face and try as we might. Before we made it back to the shore, the SS Minnow went down with the whole crew. I mean, she went down to the bottom of that 10, 12 foot pond, and there we was swimming back to the shore and had to tie her up to it and pull her out. I know what happens to boats that get full of water. They sink. You say, "Preacher, I don't believe that's what that word means. I don't believe the word full in the text really means full. It don't really mean the boat was full of water." Oh, it does tonight. I looked up this word in the Greek. You know what this word "full" means in the Greek? It means full. I'll tell you what this word means in Chinese and Spanish and Russian and Zimbabwean. It means full. Amen. They no doubt what that word means. And in spite of the boat being full, it is still floating. You say, "Preacher, that defies the laws of physics. That defies the laws of boating. That defies the laws of water." I know it does. That's why I'm preaching it to you tonight. It's kind of interesting to me. You say, "Preacher, how come this boat's still floating? What's keeping that boat floating?" Well, let me say this. The boat is not floating because of the ship. It's just a normal ship. It's just an average ship. There ain't nothing out of the ordinary about this boat. It's a normal old fishing boat from back in Bible times. The boat ain't floating because it's an abnormal ship with some sort of secondary flotation device that's keeping it rolling. No, it ain't because of the ship the boat's floating. It's not because of the sailors why the boat is floating. These sailors are just normal, average fishermen. I'm talking about Peter and James and John, the whole bunch of them. It's not because of the sailors that the boat is floating. It's not because of the ship that the boat is floating. You say, "Preacher, why is the boat floating even though it's full?" Because there is one who is sleeping on a pillow in the hinder part of the ship, and he is the one who made the storm. He is the one who made the winds. He is the one who made the waves. He is the one who made the waters. And when that guy's on your ship, it just can't go down. When that guy is on board your boat, it is impossible for it to sink tonight. With that thought in mind, I'd like to preach on this. I'm preaching on Jesus can float your boat. Jesus can float your boat. Can I tell you, there's times in life where it feels like your ship, your vessel, has just gotten full to the point where you cannot go on any further. I mean, come on, let's just be honest tonight. I know we in church, and people don't like to be honest in church. We put our best on and come to church and act like we ain't got no problems, but the truth is, from the pulpit to the pew, front to back, left to right, we've all been in situations of our life where we were like David. We felt over
overwhelmed. We felt covered up. I mean, our job had us covered up. Our family problems had us covered up. Our financial issues had us covered up. Our physical ailments had us covered up. Our discouragement had us covered up. Our past had us covered up. Our sins had us covered up. May I say, there's a whole lot that will fill your boat. There's a lot that can fill your boat to the point of sinking. I mean, daily life and daily struggles and daily burdens of the mind and the heart. A lot of things can fill your boat. But hear me, there's only one thing that can float your boat tonight. Even though there's a lot of things that'll fill the boat up, there's only one thing that'll keep the boat floating. Listen to me, Montel and Oprah and Dr. Laura and Dr. Phil and Springer can't keep the boat afloat. Medication can't keep the boat floating. Religion can't keep the boat floating. Good works can't keep the boat floating. But there is a man tonight named Jesus, and there's never been a drowning sinner. There's never been a ship so full that he couldn't get on board and keep them floating, even when it looked like they should go down tonight. I mean, come on now, there's some of y'all in here. If you look at your life and look around at what's gone on in your life over the years, there's no reason you ought to even be in church. You ought to throw the towel in a long time ago. You ought to quit. I mean, the devil done give you knockout blow after knockout blow. The devil has sent storm after storm. It has filled your ship up to the point where you should have done quit a long time ago. You should have said, I'm done with the Bible. I'm done with church. I'm done with God. I'm done with the preacher. I'm just done. But yet somehow here you still are, and you're still toting your Bible, and you're still worshiping, and you still got a smile on your face, and you still got a song in your heart. You say, preacher, I can't explain that. I can. There's somebody on board the boat. There's somebody on board the vessel that he gives joy right on time. He gives peace right on time. He gives help right on time. And he keeps the boat floating even when it should go down tonight. You say, preacher, why does God
allow my boat to get full? Why does God allow my ship to get overwhelmed? I mean, Jesus is in the boat, Preacher Thacker. He could have stopped it from ever getting to this point had he wanted to. I mean, anybody that can step out on the bow of the boat and say, peace be still when the storm is raging, surely could have stepped out when the storm was still calm and told it to stop before it ever got started. Right. Why didn't he? Say, preacher, why does God seemingly let things in my life? I'm praying, I'm reading my Bible, I'm tithing, I'm giving to missions, I'm serving the Lord, I'm witnessing, I'm trying to raise my family right, trying to live for God, trying to do what's right. I'm not perfect, but preacher, I'm trying my best to live for God. And why does the Lord allow these things into my life? Three reasons why I believe the Lord allows the boat to get full so that he can show you he can float it. Three things tonight, and I'm going to be done. Firstly, the Lord allows the boat to get full. The Lord floats your boat as a testimony to others. The Lord floats your boat as a testimony to others. Look at the text tonight. The Bible said in verse number 36, after Jesus gets them in the ship, it said he sent away the multitude. They took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him, watch this, other little ships. You realize while the ship that is carrying Jesus to the other side is the one that we are most focused on, Brother Hollis, the ship that has Jesus in it is the one we hear most preached about, but there's more ships in the water around the vessel that has Jesus on board than just the one that we're reading about. There's a little ship here and a little ship over there and one back over here. There are other people that are in the middle of this storm besides just the disciples and just Jesus. Can I take a time out and say this real quick? You ain't the only one going through storms tonight, sir. You ain't the only one going through trouble tonight, ma'am. There are other people that's got trouble tonight too. I know how we are. I've been there too. I know how it is. We get the Elijah complex and the Elijah syndrome. We get to the place like Elijah did. Oh, Elijah got out there by himself in the wilderness and he finally looked at the Lord and he said, Lord,
I'm the only one living for God. I'm the only one doing right. I'm the last one that's trying to do what's true. And Lord, they want to kill me. They seek my life to take it away. And God looked down at Elijah and said, let me give you a news update. Let me show you what's going on behind the scenes. I have reserved me 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. They're being persecuted just like you are. They're being hated just like you are. And just because you feel bad don't mean you're the only person going through something. There are times in our life we get to feeling like I'm the Lone Ranger and I'm the only one that's got this. You know, most of the time what I found out, if I look across the pew, I find somebody that's got worse trouble than I've got. They got a bigger storm than I got. And if I look around a little while, I'll say, thank God for my storm. Thank God for my problems. It's better than swapping with that person right there. God lets you both get full as a testimony to others. Say, what do you mean a testimony to others? Well, these little ships are all around there, and they're watching the ship that Jesus is in.
Amen.
They're watching the boat that has Jesus in it. And I imagine while they're being tossed this way and tossed that way, trying to keep water out of their boat, Brother Keith, they look over there and they say, oh, thank God that boat's still floating. If that boat with Jesus goes down, we ain't got no hope of staying afloat. Oh, if the boat with Jesus in it can keep floating, then we can keep floating. If the boat that's bearing the blood-stained banner of the cross of Christ is still floating, then we can stay floating. Hey, can I tell you, sir, people are watching you while you are going through your storm. Hey, sister, people are watching you while you're going through your storm. Listen to what I'm telling you, mama. You got little babies. You got little knee and ankle biters that grab a hold of your hand and are watching you as you go through the darkest hours of your life. Them little babies you tuck in at night, them little babies you drop off at school, them little youngins you take to Sunday school and pray over, they're watching you. And mama, you better keep floating, because they're watching to see if you are. Daddy, you better keep floating, because there's somebody watching you to see if you are. I'll tell you this, nothing is more discouraging to a church, and nothing is more discouraging to a congregation than when a preacher goes down. Oh God, we're living in a day where preachers are dropping left and right. I mean, the devil's pulling back his fiery darts and throwing them right in. I mean, he's zeroed in on the bullseye, and they're dropping here, and they're dropping there, and they're dropping yonder. Nothing's worse than we see a preacher go down, or a daddy go down, or a mama go down. I say, hang in there. People's watching you. There's somebody on your job watching how you go handle this. Somebody in your family watching how you go handle this, and you've told them Jesus is enough, and you've told them God is sufficient, and they need to see somebody that believes exactly what they've preached and show them He is enough, He's big enough, He's God enough to keep a song in our heart and to keep joy in our life and to keep us going to the house of God. He's big enough and God enough to keep us floating. I believe as a testimony to others. I don't have time to read it, but if you was to go on into chapter number 5, the Bible said, Brother Peyton, soon as that boat slid up on the shore of the country of the Gadarenes, there come running a crazy, naked, devil-possessed man that had been up there in them tombs, Brother Chip, crying and a-cutting himself. And couldn't nobody do nothing with him. He'd been chained down with fetters. He'd been cutting himself with rocks. And couldn't nobody do anything with him. Now you believe what you want to believe, but I'm preaching tonight, so I'm going to tell it like I want to. I believe with all my heart. I believe with all my heart. While Jesus and them boats out yonder in the sea was being tossed with the waves, and that water had done filled the boat up, I believe that old demoniac was a standing up there. He was standing up on the hillside, and he was a looking down yonder on them boats. He was watching lightning streak forking across the sky. He was watching them dark clouds gather. He was watching them little boats go up and go down and get full with the water of the waves. And I imagine as he watched, them devils inside began to laugh and said, I'm going to watch them all die. I'm going to watch them all go down. I've seen sailors die out yonder on that sea before, and I'm going to watch some more of them be claimed down to David Jones' locker. And about that time, as he began to watch, there was a lowly Nazarene step out on the bow of the vessel. And when he stepped out on the bow of the boat, he lifted his hands, and his voice carried across those waves, and he heard him say, "Peace, be still." He watched the lightning die off. He watched the clouds part. He watched the wind lay still. He watched the waters die down. And I imagine he thought to himself, "Good God Almighty, if that man could calm that storm on that sea, surely he could calm the raging storm that's going on in my life. Surely he could calm the raging storm that's going on in my heart." And when the gangplank fell down on the SS Jesus and the Lord stepped off of that boat, here come that man running and slid into Jesus, had a head-on collision with God and knocked the devil out of him. You say, what saved that man? What got that man to God? He saw somebody with a testimony. He saw somebody floating when they shouldn't have been floating, and it brought him to Jesus. May I say, you got people watching you that don't know God, and they're lost in going to hell, and they've never come to Christ. And in your storm and in your dark hour, they need to see somebody that just sails on, somebody that sings on, somebody that preaches on, somebody that serves on, somebody that just loves God anyway. Keep on floating, friend. It's a testimony to others.
We see, not only can God float your boat as a testimony to others, but secondly, I got to hurry, it's not only a testimony to others, it is to build trust in Him.
Amen.
It's not only as a testimony to others, it's to build trust in Him. They were just singing a minute ago about Jesus. Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him over and over. Amen. Look at what your Bible says in verse number 40. He said unto them, notice the indictment that Jesus gives to His handpicked disciples, apostles. Why are you so fearful? Notice what He says to these guys. How is it that you have no faith?
Amen.
Let's not get too hard on them here tonight. I figure if fellas the caliber of Matthew and caliber of John and caliber of Peter and the caliber of James, men that actually have books of the Bible written by their hand, inspired by the Holy Ghost, and their names are on them. I don't read no books in the Bible named Cody Zorn. You better be glad there ain't none like that. You imagine how messed up that would be. I mean, I don't read no books in the Bible got your name on it, but these guys here that ain't got no faith, I mean, these is real faithful guys. These is guys that's full of faith.
Amen.
And yet in a dark storm, they didn't have a lick of trust in the Lord. You've been there too. I've been there too tonight.
Amen.
Here we find the Lord says, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? I want you to get this picture in your mind of what's going on here. Here they all are in this boat. The storm is rocking them back and forth, and you can see probably all of their personalities coming out. A person's real personality comes out, not in good times, but in real crisis situations.
Right.
You're going to find out who people are when a crisis is on. I mean, you want to really push somebody to their limit, get them staying up for about 24 hours and about 3 o'clock in the morning, and then start ribbing them and messing with them. You'll find out real quick what they really are. You'll find out real quick if they know any dirty words, amen. You'll find out really quick if they got real long patience, real short fuse. Here they are in the boat, and about that time, you know, Thomas, he's a doubter. He's sitting over there saying, ain't no use, we're all going to die. We're all going to die. I mean, just give up, just quit. You know we ain't going to get out of this. It's going to be bad. We're going to go down. John's over there, and John the Beloved saying, oh, it'll be all right, Thomas. Come on. Come on, it'll be okay. Jesus is back there. We trust in the Lord. Over there we find Peter. He's probably cussing, blankety blank blank. I'm going to tell you what's the truth. This is just awful. Judas is over there, and Judas, he ain't bailing water out the boat. He's scooping water and putting water in the boat. And in the middle of all of this chaos, Jesus is in the back of the boat sawing logs.
Say, did he know what was going on? Absolutely. Even though he's asleep, he knows exactly what was going on. Didn't catch him by surprise. I mean, he's God and he's man. He's so much God that he slept in the boat. He's so much man he slept in the boat. He's so much God the wind ceased when he spoke. You know the thought there. Jesus is back here, and I mean, they look back and they're freaked out, and Jesus is, I mean, solid gone, man. And they say, Master, Lord, don't you even care that we're about to go down? Jesus gets up and, I got this. Peace, be still. And like old preacher LaVon Boatner from Mississippi used to say, I believe one of them waves peeked up and looked over yonder and tapped another wave on the shoulder and said, that's him. That's him. That's him. Hey, I'm going to tell you what, you ain't never met a man like this that he can rebuke winds and waves. Talks to them like they people. And they lay down still. He commands nature tonight, friend. And these guys that are supposed to have trust ain't got any. I'm going to tell you what will build trust in the Lord. You say, preacher, why does God allow my boat to get full? It's so you learn to trust him. Amen. Listen to what I'm finna tell you. If you never had a storm in your life and you never had a situation get so big that you couldn't handle it. I mean a situation go big, so big you couldn't finance your way out of it. A situation so big you couldn't fight your way out of it. A situation so big you couldn't work your way out of it. You couldn't get yourself out of it with the means of mortal man. I mean those are the kind of situations that God likes to deal with when they get bigger than your ability, when they get bigger than your intellect. When they get bigger than your strength, then God steps in and says, all right, y'all, back up. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Let me show you what's going on. I sat here tonight and watched us pray over Brother Jeffrey and his dear wife and what's going on. I couldn't help but think back over yonder at the little church that I pastor now. Sunday morning, man of God, we got a dear lady who comes to church every Sunday morning. She sits in the third section back over here. Her name's Miss Joyce. She's been in a wheelchair as long as I've known her, one of them electric wheelchairs. She, for the last 3 months, had a lot of complications. They've been thinking it's kidney stones. I mean, just going through, been praying for her. And last Sunday, she come in, and she looked at me and said, Brother Cody, they said maybe it ain't kidney stones after all. They said they're going to test me for cancer. They think it's cancer, preacher. Would you anoint me with oil? Would you have the elders of the church pray over me? Sunday morning after service, I called the men of the church down. I took that oil just like the Bible said, and the prayer of faith saving the sick. Brother, we put that on our hand, on her head. We laid hands on that woman and prayed. Just today, she had doctor appointment. I'm bragging on Jesus here for just a minute. It's not helped nobody else. It's helped me, though. Son, we've been praying. I prayed, God, Lord, good God in heaven, I'm asking you to heal this woman, to let everybody in this church know that there's a big God in heaven that can do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Today was her doctor visit to get her results. She sent me a text just before I come down here. Said the doctor said ain't no cancer. Said the doctor said even the kidney stones are gone. She said glory be to Jesus. I said glory, sis. You say what's that do for you? It lets me know this. It lets me know I can trust him. The next time I go through something, I can trust him. The next time somebody else goes through something, I can trust him. He's trustworthy tonight, friend. I'm gonna tell you how trustworthy he is. I'm gonna tell you something about building trust through these storms. I hope if you're saved and you've been saved any length of time, see Peter and them, they just young Christians at this point. They only been walking with the Lord maybe a year, maybe even less. This is early in the Lord's ministry. They ain't been through much yet. Early in your Christian life, you really don't have a lot of faith in the Lord. I mean, you trust him enough to get you to heaven, but the truth is you ain't really walked with him long enough to gain some trust. God has to let your boat get full over and over and over and then show you he can keep floating it to build trust in him. So now let's segue from Peter's early Christian life. Years later, Peter been saved, and he's a seasoned soldier of the cross. Jesus has gone back to glory. He's done died. He was buried, rose again. Now he ascended back to heaven. Peter's got the Holy Ghost on the inside, and Peter's gone everywhere preaching the gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and how to save to the uttermost them that'll believe God. And son, Peter been preaching, and you get on Acts chapter 12, and the Bible said in Acts chapter 12, Herod kills James. I mean James, the brother of John. Oh, Herod kills him graveyard dead and sends him to the glory world, and he's going to do the same to old Pete. Peter's going to be next. And the Bible said, read for yourself, Acts 12. They put Peter in the jailhouse, and they anchor Peter down in the jailhouse, and they put a soldier on this side and a soldier on that side. And the Bible said they were intending the next day to kill Peter too. Amen. Now, surely I would think to myself, Brother Thacker, a man that would be in a boat and would be biting his fingernails off and scared to death and wringing his hands, worrying about dying. Surely a man like that, when he really is faced with death, on death row, going to die in the morning, and they put him in the jailhouse and lock him down, surely he's going to be sitting there crying and wailing and saying, oh God, I don't want to die. Peter done walked with God too long to be doing all that. Say, what's Peter? Peter's now, he's walked with God long enough, he's starting to act like Jesus. See, the longer you walk with the Lord, the more you start acting like Jesus. He's been walking with the Lord so long now, he starts acting like Jesus. Read it for yourself, Acts 12:6. You say, what's it say in Acts 12:6? It said, Peter was anchored down between two soldiers, and he went to sleep. Yes. Gonna die tomorrow. And the soldier over here, soldier over here, all of a sudden hears. They look and say, I ain't never seen such an all my life. I ain't never seen a man that's going to get executed tomorrow that can pillow his head in a jail cell between two fellas that's going to kill him and just conk right out to sleep. Old Peter sat there and said, boy, I watched a fella do this one time on a boat that was sinking, and it worked pretty good for him. I believe I'm going to try it too. Boy, I'll see you in the morning. Ain't no sense in all of us staying up worried about this thing. Good night. Said his prayers and conked out. Say, what happened? Long about the midnight hour, the Bible said an angel of the Lord showed up. And when the angel of the Lord showed up, this is what the Bible said. He had to kick old Peter. He had to rout. He was in such deep sleep. I mean, he done got into REM sleep. I mean, he done got way off in the REM sleep, friend. Gone, solid gone. And the angel had to kick him and say, Pete, get up. We got to go. And he got Peter up, and out they went. And Peter lived right on for a good many more years. You say, what is that? That's a man that's been through enough storms. He's been through enough high water to know that God will be enough. May I say to some of you gray-headed saints of God tonight, you need to show us youngsters some faith. Show us something that we can grab a hold of and say, hey, when it comes dying time, when it comes trial time, when it comes storm time, we can have trust in one that is trustworthy tonight. I found I can trust him. I can trust him tonight. I'm done with preaching too long. We see the Lord floats our boat to build trust in him. The Lord floats our boat as a testimony to others. And then lastly, the Lord floats our boat so that we can tell somebody else. Amen. So we can go tell somebody else. All right, watch your Bible. Verse number 41, our last verse tonight. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, watch what they're telling. What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now this feared in verse 41, it says they feared exceedingly. This feared in verse 41 is a different fear than in verse 40 when Jesus said, why are you so fearful? These are two different types of fear. In verse number 40, when Jesus says, why are you so fearful? That literally means they were scared to death, like a bunch of little youngins. I mean, they were scared like, oh God, we're going to die. Oh Lord, this is crazy. But verse 41, it ain't a fear like they scared. It's a reverential awe. It literally, this is real deep, I ain't sure somebody's going to catch this. It literally means this. It means to go, oh. Wow. I mean,
come on. That's the way you'd be too. I mean, you know, if you was in a big old storm and one dude steps up on the bow of the boat and just says, you know, peace, be still, bam. I mean, Dan Rather ain't there. Jim Cantore ain't there. I mean, you know, the weather people ain't there. I mean, it just dies. You know what you'd be doing? Same thing I'd have done, same thing they'd done. What manner of man is this? What kind of guy is this? The winds and the seas, they looked around, they told each other, y'all, I ain't never met nobody like this. I believe we'll be all right as long as he's in our boat. I'm going to tell you what. They got to trusting him so much. They got to trusting him so much, Preacher Thacker. You go read it for yourself. Don't take my word for it. The next storm they come to is over in Mark 6, I believe it is. And in that storm, they got to trusting him so much for what he could do. They was in another big storm, and they saw Jesus walking on the sea. And Peter's trusting him so much now, he looks and says, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come on the water. I ain't even, I get out, walk on water now. I done seen you do enough. I believe I can trust you, Lord. Amen. Now they see this and they say, y'all, we got to tell somebody else. What manner of man is this? Never met nobody like this. You say, why does God let me go through the things I'm going through? So that when God keeps your boat floating and when God finally brings you out or when God sustains you through it, you can stand up in a testimony service somewhere and say, Preacher Thacker, I want to testify. I didn't see no hope. I didn't see no way out. And preacher, maybe the storm ain't over with, but I found out if God won't calm the storm, he calms the child in the storm, and I found him to be sufficient. I found him to be enough. You know what I'm just about to get to the conclusion that the whole reason what I expounded to you Monday night, and you've heard before about my son going through cancer and all that, I'm just about to get to the conclusion that whole ordeal was not so much just for me and my family, even though it was. I'm about to come to the conclusion that it was as much for all them people sitting in pews that the Lord knew I'd run around all over this country and even overseas and preach to them and tell them God's big enough to get you through something like that.
Amen.
See, stop looking at your storms with such a little perspective. We get in our storms and we think, it's just me. It's all about me. It ain't all about you. Might be about that doctor that's going to sit in there and come in and tell you something. Maybe God wants him to see something through this. Might be somebody sitting in a church service somewhere. They're going to need your testimony, lady. They're going to need your testimony, brother, when you stand up and give a word for God. Maybe it ain't even about you. Maybe God's going to do it so you can tell somebody else. Maybe Mikey ain't even for y'all at all. Maybe Mikey is so that all these places y'all go sing at, Sister Hollis can get up and tell about a sprinkled donut and how God provided for a handicapped boy. I mean, maybe it ain't even for y'all. Maybe it's for somebody else so God can, through y'all, say, hey, if I can do it for them, I can do it for you too. I mean, maybe what we done tonight down here praying over these folk, maybe it ain't even really about them. Maybe it's so down the road when God does do something, they can stand up and say, let me tell you what God did. Maybe it's for somebody else. I'm just here to tell you tonight, I don't know who needs it, I'm just here to tell you, God can float your boat. Never been a boat sunk with Jesus on board. Never been a boat sunk with Jesus on board. It might get full. I ain't saying they don't get full. They get full with him on board. You think you might be going down. But I never seen a vessel go down. Brother Eric, would y'all help me over here? I've never seen a boat go down with Jesus riding on board.
Amen.
He can float your boat. You say, preacher, you don't know how full my boat is. It don't really matter how full your boat is. He can keep it floating. Maybe tonight what you might do is just slide into this altar and say, Lord, I ain't going to say like the disciples. Carest thou not that we perish? I know you care. I know the Bible says you care, casting all our care on you, for you care for us. Lord, maybe what you won't come say is, Lord, help me to have the right testimony through this. Help me to learn to trust you more. Help me to tell somebody else. Lord, please help me to see that you are indeed floating my boat. Sometimes when things get full, it's hard to recognize that. But he is. He is.
He's got the boat floating.